Hello, and welcome back to our bonus episode of today's FYI. We are here with my buddy Rob Grams, a.k.a. also known as Pro Bo, Professional Bohemian. And Rob, you owe us. Well, firstly, welcome back.
Welcome. Hey, welcome. Nice to be here, dude. Thank you. It remains an honor. Thank you. Patreon people, what's up?
I was really enjoying our conversation and I can't wait to get back into it. We got so much to talk about. And we're both artists. We both love art in general. We live it, breathe it. But Professional Bohemian, I've always liked the name. I never asked you this question. So now that I got you here on the air live, because, this is a podcast, but we record it live. Where did that name come from?
Okay. So I'm going to be honest with you.
I want you to be honest.
I just thought it sounded cool.
It does.
And then retroactively, so this is an exclusive to the extra content. Retroactively, I created a reason for it to be. So Professional Bohemian just sounded cool. And I knew Bohemian had something kind of like vaguely to do with art and the art scene.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I thought Professional just sounded like, well, cool.
But I'll get it to you on time.
Yeah, exactly. But then as time has gone on and I've started helping more and more like people who struggle with kind of expressing themselves or want to get involved in arts and things like that. I found it actually quite a lot of comfort, and it actually does make quite a lot of sense to me. So maybe it was kismet. Because, a bohemian is someone who generally thought of as quite artistic and creative, mm-hmm. who lives a very alternative lifestyle. And
sure.
That is certainly...
eclectic. They'll make something out of nothing.
Yeah, and that's certainly been the case with me through the vast majority of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a big, huge chunk of my life too where, I've been involved in business and,
you run Vaughn Radio. Yeah, it's an institution,
Exactly. That kind of, the understanding that kind of, the order and the respect for process, order and, basically.
But Rob, I don't want to cut you off here, but I think it's so important. And I feel like when I studied my BFA, my Bachelor in Fine Arts, they told us like, oh yeah, you're artsy fartsy. You're the artist. But if you don't know how to run your finances, you're going to be broke.
Exactly.
If you don't know how to, organize your wardrobe, so they basically taught us, you need to be well-rounded. You don't just know about the art. You need to know about the business because you need to sell yourself, right? As an artist, that's where business and art mixes. But if you want to reach the masses, which as we said in the first part, is your goal is to reach people with your message.
Exactly.
So, there's that paradox too of like, I'm an artist, but this is a business. How do you deal with that? I just threw this surprise question at you,
As the name would suggest, I am still very much at my soul bohemian, and I very much kind of channel a lot of that now, even though, I've settled down, I'm in a very stable, committed relationship, mm-hmm. But still, like, in my soul, I have that bohemian nature, and there is that professional side of me. And you find your balance by, for me, compartmentalizing those things.
Right,
It's tax season, got to get that done, but then, as soon as the lights go down and I'm in the studio, anything goes.
For me, I think about it like, as an artist, as somebody who loves art too, I'm like, well, isn't anybody who's organized, whether you're a carpenter, whether you're the boss of a multinational company, or whether you're an artist, isn't being organized a good thing?
Oh, dude, absolutely.
Like knowing where all your colors are, like whatever your organization means to you, but there's got to be that chaos. I love the expression, Rob. I'm sure you'd love it too. There's a method to my madness.
Oh, dude, absolutely.
Like it looks like I'm crazy, but believe me, there's a reason behind. There's a message, as you said, a reason behind what I do.
I'll be honest, guys, you can't see this, but the studio that I'm in right now is very well organized.
Well, hey, it's taken me a long time. If you take it seriously, if you love it, there is a certain professionalism. So I love it. The name is great. Don't let it, and you got it back in the day, so no one's going to take it from
you. Exactly.
All right. Well, Rob, we hear a lot of things about artists. They're foofy. They're special. Don't talk to him. He's an artist. Or, whoa, you got to talk to his manager. There are a lot of misconceptions about artists. Maybe they're crazy, people who live in solitude, about painters, about all kinds of artists, and even about creating art. What are some of those misconceptions, I think, that people, these stereotypes that people feel about art that you think are unfair?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many. There are so many. For example, you said you mentioned foofy. They're kind of, you know, airheaded.
Flighty.
Flighty, like.
Right. Good vocabulary, guys.
Yeah, wow. that is one. That is one. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I would put my hand in the fire. I would attest to that probably all of us have a little bit of this in us, you know, to some degree. The foofiness, the getting carried away.
Sure, your favorite song comes on, your favorite movie, and you feel giddy. You feel like a little kid.
And then on the other side of that, there's the perception of an artist to be quite a dark figure or quite introspective. Oh, yeah,
Chris Cornell, first person that comes to mind from Soundgarden.
Exactly.
Vincent Van Gogh.
Not just
dark, but twisted. Mm. Now, what about Italy, that? Do you have to be, like, twisted and tormented since and abused by your family? I mean,
you nailed it. Tormented. That's the word, isn't it?
Haunted, tormented.
Edgar Allan Poe, like a lot of the greats have this real dark side. Robin Williams, dude.
Yeah, oh, Chris Cornell, as you mentioned. But he hid it so well. Because his thing was comedy. Obviously, he had to hide it.
Exactly.
Whereas Chris Cornell's like, I make rock and roll. It's supposed to be gritty and dirty and sad and angry.
So what do you think? I personally don't think you do need it. I mean, I think maybe you need it, but you need to know how to use it. I think that's maybe the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You do need it. And most people who, you know, have experienced some kind of suffering turn to art at some point in time.
Well, in the end, as you said, it's something you got to get out. It's a release, a message. We've given, because we can't define art, but we've given a lot of synonyms here. Yeah. We've said it's a message, it's a release, it's an idea, it's a story that we tell. It can be so many things to so many different people. But really, an artist, I mean, my grandmother, she doesn't consider, or she didn't, God rest her soul, consider herself an artist. But she took raw materials, such as mushrooms and tomatoes and garlic, and she would make the greatest dish you ever tried in your life. And I'm like, how is that not different from a painter who takes colors, he takes, you know, some cement and mixes all these things together to get a beautiful finished product that's even edible in the case of my grandmother's art. So, you know, art can be anything, can it? Don't we all have a little artist in us?
I think we certainly do. I think we certainly do. I think we always kind of convince ourselves that what we do is crafts and what everybody else does is art.
Right.
I think that's the difference. Because I don't know, there is a certain stigma of being an artist, I think.
I'm an artist. I've been told by many people. I studied it, but I still have a problem saying I'm an artist. Like, I'm saying it now, but, you know?
I mean, even to the point of experiencing the art itself, I remember when a few years ago I was thinking about having an exhibition. I was telling someone about it.
You should, dude. I would love to. I would love to be there. We could live stream it.
Dude, I've got a lot of work now, too. Wow.
Dude, your art is awesome. I'm not blowing smoke up as... To blow smoke up somebody's ass means to hacerle la pelota. I'm serious, Rob. Your art, I mean, I know I respect you as a video editor, as a creator, as a digital artist. But your paintings are, they say something to me, man.
Yeah. It's curious, like, because I don't know. I don't think I wrote a play when I was 21 and I was
really. I remember you told me that.
And I was really lucky that it garnered some real favorable attention.
Good word. Garner. Yeah. The TV.
And it garnered a lot of positive attention at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And And I consider that, like, even some of my better paintings, even, you know, it's so weird when you're involved in so many different kinds of arts. Like, I'm so used to being, like, whether it be a broadcaster now or in the theatre where you've got this immediate feedback.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we were talking about, you know, using a movie to tell your story or just a blank canvas.
So it's
same
a weird
thing. The theater with movies. Okay, movie, you got everything at your fingertips. Theater, it's real. It's happening. A live performance.
Totally.
It's you're feeling those vocal cords hitting you, those same vibrations.
It's real. So here's the weird thing. Like, you finish a painting, I'll spend 60 hours finishing a painting.
Wow, I was going to ask
you. What are the big ones, you know?
60 hours. Well, from concept, from seed to, I mean.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, like a lot of them, depending on the size, mm-hmm. like the Richard Vaughan one took like maybe 30 hours.
Wow.
The last one, the chicken, because of the feathers, took 60 hours easily. But then I did a picture of a fetus.
Oh, that was cool too. Yeah, I remember that one.
Exactly the same size of the chicken. Mm-hmm. That took 40 hours. So it really depends in the flow and what you're working on.
Yeah. But for me, how like, clear the idea comes exactly, to you at first, right?
Exactly. Or how to best represent the colors and the vibe that I'm shooting.
And I'm sure there's sometimes when you start something and you're like, I'm going to like totally change it now. I don't like the direction it's gone in.
I've done that a few times. I did that actually with a piece that ended up being really, really nice called Filters. You'll see on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. That's Professional Bohemian.
Professional Bohemian on Instagram. If you guys are not following, you are missing out. I'm serious.
Yeah. So Filters was one I started off with a completely different color palette. Mm-hmm. The thing would have been much more yellow and green and earthy. It's a great piece of vocabulary.
But as you started, you're like, I'm not feeling it. And as you said, it's a feeling. It's not, you can't say, oh, I hate this movie. Yeah. Well, sometimes you just, I don't know why. I just, like with people.
Yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know the guy, but I don't like him.
You get a sense of something in your gut. It's primal. Primal. I don't think anyone will ever know what that is. You know what I mean?
It's beautiful though, isn't it? That's on the level I think that art speaks to us. We don't even get it really.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so powerful, right? If art really is the artist reflecting the world back at itself, isn't that the most valuable thing that it'll make you, it'll shock you for a second?
And how many times, Rob, have you listened to like a song from the 80s or something and you close your eyes and you're there?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You're there. Absolutely. You're like, I am 8 years old, 7 years, running around like Def Leppard, whatever it is, and you're there.
For me, Iron Maiden, Run to the Hills. I heard it on Rock FM.
Oh, like what a tune.
I heard it like a couple of days ago in the car with Izzy. Close, and like I have this vivid image of myself as a 10-year-old playing air guitar, jumping up and down on my bed.
Oh man,
pretending to be Bruce Dickinson.
Run that's awesome. To the hills. Wow. But it's great too because now I get it, Rob. You got into operatic, theatric, heavy metal,
totally
with a visual element. So that's why you like all the arts, because Iron Maiden was kind of your. And who would have thunk it? Really, who would have thought it? But who would have thunk it that Iron Maiden was, you know, a band that's they're whatever. Yeah. You know, they were your introduction. They were what that bug that bit you.
I mean, yeah, that's another great discussion to have, right? Like, was it Iron Maiden or was it in me forever? You know what I mean?
Well, you're born an artist, right? The thing is, do you develop that thing?
Exactly. There's a great question, right? Is it completely like within us from the start? I would say if I had to pick two artists and bet on a career trajectory, which one would be the most successful? On one side, you have, let's say, your born talent.
Yeah. Okay. Messi. So,
yeah.
Let's put it in football terms. Yeah, Messi. He was born with it. The guy is a genius.
And then on the other side,
Cristiano, he works hard.
He just works hard.
Works his butt off like nobody's ever done it.
And it makes him really, really good.
He turned himself into a machine.
Well, that's the thing. I would always choose that guy.
But the thing is, isn't it like nature and nurture?
Exactly.
Isn't it a mix of the two? Yeah. Like, isn't it like you're born an artist, but then do you open up that door? And that, I think, a big part is your parents. Like with my daughter, I am, you know, anytime I'm forcing her to look at the world through like not just that's a tree. I'm like, look at that tree. I'm like, it looks like a monster, doesn't it? Like trying to show her like things don't have to be just black and white.
Yeah, that's so valuable. That's such a valuable lesson. Mm-hmm. Because can we really rely on kind of the education system to do that?
No, that's a whole nother discussion if you want to have that. But it reminds me of looking at the clouds. To you, it looks like a tuba. And to me, it looks like an elephant. Yeah, but it looks like something. And that's cool. We're imagining it.
Exactly. And again, that's what makes art so difficult to kind of nail down, because it's so subjective, right?
Right.
This nebulous thing in the sky. For me, it's a clown. For you, it's a race car.
And it doesn't have to be one thing. Why should it? Why should you define it? That's why I didn't even want to look up the definition of art. I said, what is it to you? And
exactly.
And by talking about it, we could kind of figure out what it is.
Exactly.
You know?
Like Pollock is a great example of that, right? Like I love Jackson Pollock.
Sure, the splatter artist.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't understand that, because I don't paint in that way. I'm not an abstract artist, you know.
Yeah, but that had its place. I mean, that was a movement. That was revolutionary, what was happening.
The thing is, if you ever see one, have you ever seen a Pollock?
Yes, I've been. I love Jackson Pollock. I love modern art, even though say it's like bubble gum and, you know.
No, but why the hell not, dude? I wouldn't lie. I love the Guggenheim. I've been to the Guggenheim in Bilbao.
Oh, wow.
More than I've been to the Reina Sofia in Madrid.
Well, Reina Sofia is brilliant, brilliant place. Reina Sofia is
for great. For me, the Thyssen is the greatest museum in
I love the Pompidou Center in Paris.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That place is sick.
Well, in the whole world, it'd be the Guggenheim in New York.
For me. Oh, well, yeah. All right. You want to go worldwide.
Yeah.
So many amazing... But we're lucky in Madrid, right?
Yeah, dude. We are totally...
Well, I want to go back to what we were talking about. Circle back, as you said. Okay, 40 hours. Tell somebody who doesn't know about art, or even myself who knows about art and... What is the creative process? How does that work? I mean, I'm sure there's no like one formula, but how does that work? You get an idea, then you develop it. I mean, in your case.
Yeah, in my case. Okay, with a painting, it's definitely a feeling. A feeling that is, that I carry with me. Yeah. It happens
like you
to
said,
us
all. You get an idea, a vision, exactly. A feeling, conviction.
If this is a feeling that I feel like deserves to be on a piece of canvas or deserves to be immortalized, what
is it because it keeps coming back too? Does that have something to do with it, like it haunting you, so to speak?
I actually, in anticipation of the podcast, started thinking about this quite a lot.
I love it. Hey, well, that's art making you think.
So, and it's very much that it's a feeling that keeps on recurring, and then eventually, just because of the brain. The way the brain works, it starts crystallizing into something.
Right. Yeah, we tend to rationalize. We find, we got to put it into a category.
Exactly.
Or at least personalize it to us so it makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So bit by bit, it'll go forming itself into an idea, into an image. Mm-hmm. And then that image, I usually do studies on my computer at home. So I'll do a quick color study. I'll find a good reference.
Mm-hmm.
And then, honest to God, it's just 40 hours fighting a canvas until it says what I want it to.
And what is it like? Because I know on your Twitch, give us your Twitch.
Professional Bohemian too.
Professional Bohemian. You paint live. I mean, I know what it's like for the viewers because I've seen the comments. What's it like for you? I mean, does it make it easier? Does it make it more difficult? I mean, it must be interesting now taking technology that Da Vinci and these guys did and... bringing it to, the digital age.
It's definitely an odd experience. But let me tell you something. It's so much part of the art for me now that I don't think I can separate the two.
No. Well, we're going to talk about the future.
Yeah.
But that's a great thing, Rob. You're a traditional artist who has found a way to take, and you're always up to the minute here. You know, we talked about our age before, but don't let that fool you. Rob knows exactly what platform we need to be on and what kind of video and what size and how many megapixels. He knows... his technical shit, excuse me, his technical stuff. I'm trying to keep it family oriented. All right, well, let's move on now because of the creative process. Oh, I got ideas. Yeah. I turned my seed into a beautiful tree. And that's nice in theory, but it doesn't always work like that. What about, for writers, it's called writer's block, but let's just call it creative block. You know, you're like, I want to paint something. I want to write a song. I got my guitar in my hand. Crickets. Yeah. Crickets. What do you do in that case? Rob, I mean, like I said, everybody does something different.
Okay. For me, I'm lucky enough to have been developed in several different fields. So I personally will always change to, like, I've got something to say, but I don't know how to paint it. Then, I'll write it or I'll figure a way.
You'll switch mediums.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I'll switch mediums. But one piece of advice I would give anyone is to go for a walk. Look, it's like it's like flirting, right? You have to imagine that what you are doing is you are flirting with this personification of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
If you look too desperate, she is not going to want to play with you.
Right, right. So you got to be, you know, yeah, you got to flirt. You got to step back, a little give and take.
But you got to be interested in...
You got to show interest.
In being inspired.
But not too much.
But not too much.
This is a Seinfeld episode.
But the weird thing is, that is very much how it's always been for me.
Right.
Like, at least, like, say it out loud, you know, it is very, I relate so much to the way I kind of deal with those times where I've wanted to paint or draw, but so desperate, like, as, yeah, I can't think of anything.
Coming out, exactly. You know, like when you're constipated and you go to the bathroom, you know.
Exactly.
Same idea, you know, artistic constipation.
So it's exactly that. So I know that inspiration is there, but, you know, I've maybe been a little bit too needy. So what I need to do, take a step back, go on.
But that's cool, though. You take it in stride.
Yeah.
You're not like, oh, my God, it's the end of me as an artist. You're thinking like, because some people can go into an existential crisis. But you're like, hang on, I'm just going to pick up the guitar, because that always gives me ideas, because music makes me feel. And then that makes me feel a certain way, and then I'll paint. So it's brilliant that you can, you know, link them all together. Because I imagine everybody, even if you work in marketing, whatever your thing is, there's a lack of inspiration that comes with everything.
Absolutely. I mean, even more so in a professional environment. I mean, I paint for me, or I create my podcast, or when I write or anything like that. I usually do it for me. But when you do it for work and you're like paid inspiration, right? They pay you to sit there and have ideas and be
sure, sure. Account. Deadlines. Sure. Exactly. It's not like we need this video, but take your time. We need this video next week.
Exactly.
Or yesterday, really.
So the whole believe it or not, the whole creative block thing is actually, it resonates with me. Although I, you know, in a personal setting, I can pick up my guitar, but if someone needs a video or a design or an audio or whatever, they need it now. And to be creative on demand, that's the trick.
That's the new. We're going to talk about the future, but I feel like, it's not just now being creative. It's being creative and being able to grab your phone, edit a video, paint, you know, touch it up, put some text in there, and boom, send it out.
Yeah. That agility, right? Modern technology gives.
And that up to the minuteness, if that word exists, know, that urgency.
Yeah. And there is quite a lot of urgency. I mean, I am a traditional artist.
There's an urgency behind art. We started this whole thing. I mean, we didn't say that word, but you said there's a need.
Yeah.
There's an urgency. You got. Now, I'm thinking of Cat Stevens. No, I can't keep it in.
Yeah.
No, I gotta let it out. I gotta show the world. World's gotta see all the love that. So he's an artist, you know. He said, I gotta get it out. I can't keep it in.
For an artist, it's about expression, right? I mean, about expression. You know what I mean? My favorite, actually, of the visual art forms is expressionism, and the German expressionists in particular. But it is that. I mean, every musician, every director of every film, every writer of those films, or your favorite novel, your favorite play, your favorite podcaster, your favorite whatever, they have something to say.
Yeah, they got a vision. I remember our acting teacher saying, a director, an actor, you got to have a vision. You have to see it.
Yeah.
And then once you see it, you can take the steps to get there, even with a goal. I've always applied, like, acting, and you studied acting. Yeah. What do you do when you're looking at a scene and a character? You find the character super objective, you find the obstacles, and then the tactics to overcome those obstacles. Yeah. And you're like, wait a second, can't I apply that to my real life? And then you're like, wait a second, being an artist, learning the artistic process of creating a character and identifying objective, or as we call it, super objective, it means all your objectives are connected to that one, obstacles, because there always will be, and then tactics to overcome those, that's drama, that's life.
Yeah, that's life, exactly.
And it's beautiful when you can draw the, you know, it's art imitates life, life imitates art, and blah, blah, blah. I didn't want to be cliche here.
No, but I mean, those cliches exist for a reason.
Okay, you were talking about it's perfect segue, transición. You were talking about expressionists. Who are your favorite painters or artists in general? Can be a sculptor. Why? And obviously, why?
Okay, all right, great. Now I've said that, you know, I probably prefer German expressionism. I'm not going to mention any expressionists. I mean, Hopper is brilliant, the calmness there. But if I'm going to highlight one person, it's going to be René Magritte. In fact, I've done two pieces, one unbeknownst and one on purpose. So one that I did, I wasn't really aware
unbeknownst, you had no idea, just kind of, sure.
Just kind of happened.
Mm-hmm. Great word.
So the first one, it was a kind of a modern recreation of one of his pieces, not to be reproduced. which is, if you can visualize it, a man staring into a mirror. Mm-hmm. And the thing is clearly a mirror because you see the room reflected.
And we'll share this. We'll share this in the show notes if you can send me. Yeah, well, of course, yeah.
I'll send it to you.
Great.
And in the reflection is the back of his head. So he said,
oh, I love when it plays with it's almost like a Matrix, but in this level of reality. Or which level are we in here?
Well, that's Magritte, man. And Son of Man. I mean, the guy's a genius. So I did this kind of retelling of Not to Be Reproduced. And then I painted a piece called Stock, which is basically just like a man in a suit, but he's headless.
I know that one. Rob, I'm a huge fan. I'm not joking here. Yeah. I know all your work.
And then weirdly, it was maybe like a year after I painted it, someone says, and this is your take on Son of Man, right? I'm like, oh my God. You know what? It might be.
It happened to me with the show with no name, my radio show. Somebody, Spanish DJ, Juanma Ortega, shout out to Juanma Ortega, said, oh, you used to listen to the Z Morning Zoo on Z100. I'm like, how do you know that? He was like, I can hear it in your radio show.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I didn't ever realize that. So I took the sound effects, the all right, let's boing, 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 you know, whatever, all those weird sound effects. I popped them in there and the crazy voice. I didn't realize it. So it's interesting. Sometimes we we're influenced by, because it's funny how now it's like, this person's plagiarizing my work. And in blues music, it was a tribute. Somebody was like, absolutely. Oh, wow, this guy did my song. Wow, how cool. So it's funny how that's changed too. Like, don't you dare. Yeah. Well, YouTube, we better be careful.
Yeah, how things have evolved in that respect as well. Like rights to art. It's odd. It's an odd discussion because, as you quite rightly say, like, do you think anyone would have sued any, like, the look at the Renaissance religious works. It's all the same image painted over and over again. Like the Madonna and Child trope, for example. Yeah.
I love the Spanish painters, how they depicted the royalty.
Yeah, yeah.
They were, you know, like, okay, you're paying me, so I got to paint you, but I'm going to paint you the way I see you. And you're not, okay, you can send it back, but, you know, be polite. So, you know. Okay, what a couple other things. I mean, we have so much to talk about, and I feel like we could do a whole nother series. We could do a series on art. In fact, we've even talked about doing our own podcast together. Either way, guys, follow Rob on Patreon. It is Professional Bohemian. It's worth it. I mean, he's an artist, an English speaker. Tell us where you're from, too, just because obviously your accent's very different than mine, so our listeners know.
Yeah, and quite a strong accent. So, guys, if you've kept up, well done, man. I'm from Yorkshire. I'm from Bradford, to be precise. Bradford in Yorkshire. That's next to, you may have heard of Leeds. Leeds United, if you like football.
Yeah. Well, both are well known places. Yeah. Sure.
So Leeds just is just next door to Bradford. I was raised there, but then I lived for many years in Liverpool. Well, just in between Liverpool and Manchester.
Great.
And then a long time in Spain. Regrettably, with Spanish that could be quite a bit better.
All right, well, we need to wrap up. As I said, I don't want to because we could talk about this forever. Two questions here. Tips for people who want to get into art of any kind. You know, I don't want to just talk any advice. Maybe somebody wants to become a digital creator. A couple simple tips. What are the first things you need to do?
Okay, I'm going to boil it down just to one tip.
Oh, awesome. I love it because especially when we're running out of time, I love when you're succinct, Rob. Even though, as I said, we can go on and on and on.
Yeah, true story. Number one, first thing and only thing, don't overthink it. The hardest thing is to get started. Just start. Doesn't matter how good it is, just start and keep going. Don't learn to produce great drawings if what you want to do is be an illustrator.
You'll do it in the process. That's what you were saying before. A friend of mine, I won't say any names, Rob Grams, told me, just start your YouTube page. You know what to do, and you'll get better at it. Yeah. And I took your advice, and, we're growing. We're growing there. So don't be judgmental of yourself.
Exactly.
I think just, you know, art isn't about, is this what people are going to like? How does it make you feel? And hopefully it'll make somebody else feel.
You nailed it, dude. That's exactly it.
And this is a tough question to deal with in a minute or so, but I know that you're awesome at this. What is the future of art? We've got NFTs. We've got digital art. We've got digital creators, TikTokers. I mean, there's so many different avenues we can go down here with art.
And there's so many ways you can take that question. Whether, I mean, we've all probably seen the new stories about art that is AI generated now.
Oh, wow. Which is, it's incredible. It's impressive.
It's an impressive feat of engineering. Mm-hmm. The question is, where do illustrators and painters and traditional artists stand in that? And then on the other side, like you see art popping up in the most unexpected of places. You see these immensely creative social media posts, TikToks, using the
1 minute videos where they're just like the graphics. I mean, it's like a trailer, like Terminator 2 trailer. Yeah. Great voice, boom. 3 out of 5 people, you know, and you're like, you're just telling us about poverty and it's incredible. But one thing, and I think we'll wrap up here, that all artists have in common, and this is something I was thinking about before, is we're storytellers.
Oh, yeah.
We want to tell you a story.
Exactly.
We want to tell you a story, whether it means painting it with our voices like we've done today. I think we can wrap up there. I don't want to, but we're out of time. Guys, follow Rob. It's Professional Bohemian. Rob, what can I say? Thanks. I don't want to even say thanks. I mean, let's do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been absolutely amazing. There's so much more we could talk about. But thank you so much for being here. And thank you guys for joining us on this week's episode of FYI.